Zech 3:3, which you have put upon all who have become Christians through the name of Jesus. God will show that they are taken away from us when he raises up all people and makes some incorruptible and immortal and free from pain in an eternal and indissoluble kingdom, but sends others off to eternal punishment of fire. And that you yourselves deceive both yourselves and your teachers by explaining that the word spoke of those of your race who are in the dispersion cf. Mal 1:11, claiming it spoke of their prayers and sacrifices as pure and pleasing when offered in every place. Know that you are lying and are trying in every way to deceive yourselves, because, in the first place, not even now, is your people scattered from where the sun rises to where it sets, yet there are nations in which not a single person of your race has ever lived. For there is no race of human beings whatsoever, whether barbarians or Greeks or those called by any name at all, whether wagon dwellers or the homeless or those who live as herdsmen in tents, among whom, through the name of Jesus, who was crucified, prayers and thanksgivings are not offered to the Father and Maker of all things. Furthermore, at that time when the prophet Malachi said this, your dispersion throughout all the earth in which you now find yourselves had not yet occurred, as is also proven from the scriptures. So rather than persisting in contentiousness, repent before the great day of judgment comes cf. Mal 4:5, in which all who are of your tribes, having pierced this Christ cf. Zech 12:2, John 19:37, Rev 1:7 are destined to mourn just as I showed from scripture had been foretold, and that the Lord swore according to the order of Melchizedek cf. PS 109-110-4, and what this foretelling means I have explained, and that the prophecy of Isaiah concerned Christ, who was destined to be buried and to rise, since he said, his burial has been taken away from the midst, cf. Isa 57:2, I have said above, and that this same Christ stands as judge over everyone, both the living and the dead, cf. Dan 7:26 and NT, Acts 10:42, 2 Tim 4, 1, 1 Pet 4, 5, etc., I have stated in many places. And Nathan too, speaking about this to David in the same way, went on to say, I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me, and I will never withdraw my mercy from him, as I withdrew it from those who came before him, and I will set him firmly in my house and in his kingdom forever. 2 KGDMS 7:14-16. And Ezekiel likewise says that the leader in the house is none other than this very one cf. Ezek 44:3. For he, the Christ, is the elect priest and everlasting king, being son of God. Do not imagine that at his second coming Isaiah or the other prophets are speaking of sacrifices of blood or libations to be offered upon the altar, but rather true and spiritual praises and thanksgivings. And it is not in vain that we have believed in him, nor were we deceived by those who taught us so, but this has come about by the wonderful providence of God, so that we might be found more understanding and more devout than you, who are reputed to be, but are not, lovers of God or understanding people, through the calling that is new cf. Jer 31:31 and eternal cf. Isa 55:3, 61:8, Jer 32:40, Heb 13:20 covenant that is of Christ. Marveling at this, Isaiah said, kings will close their mouths because those who were told nothing about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. Lord, who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Isa 52:15-53:1, and in saying these things, Trypho, I said, I am trying as far as possible to speak them again for the sake of those who have arrived with you today, though briefly and in condensed form. And he said, you do well. And even if you say the same things again at greater length, know that I and those with me rejoice to hear them. And I in turn said, do you suppose, gentlemen, that we could ever have been able to understand these things in the scriptures, had we not received, by the will of him who willed them, the grace to understand, so that what was said by Moses might also come to pass? They provoked me with strange gods, they embittered me through their vile practices, they offered sacrifice to demons they did not know, gods newly appeared, freshly arrived, unknown to their fathers. You abandoned the God who begot you, and you forgot the God who nourished you. The Lord watched this, grew jealous, and burned with anger toward his sons and daughters. He declared, I will hide my face from them, and I will show what will happen to them in the last days, for they are a twisted generation, children in whom there is no faithfulness. They stirred my jealousy with what is not God, they roused my anger with their idols. And I will stir their jealousy with what is not even a nation, I will rouse their anger through a senseless people, for a fire has flared up from my wrath, and it will burn all the way to Hades. It will consume the earth and everything it yields, it will scorch the mountains down to their foundations. I will heap disasters upon them, Deut 32:16-23. Then, once that righteous man had been killed, cf. Issa 3:10, 57:1. We, a different people, have sprung up new, sprouting like fresh, thriving ears of grain, just as the prophets declared. And many nations will find refuge in the Lord on that day, becoming one people, settling in the heart of the whole earth, cf. Zech 2:11. We are moreover not merely a people but a holy people too, as has already been demonstrated. And they shall call him a holy people, ransomed by the Lord, cf. Issa 62:12. We are then no contemptible people, nor a barbarian tribe, nor comparable to the nations of the Carians or Phrygians, rather, God chose us to, cf. Deut 14:2, revealing himself to those who never sought him. Behold, I am God, he says, to a nation that did not call upon my name, cf. Issa 65:1. For this is that nation which God pledged to Abraham long ago, promising that he would set him as father of many nations, cf. Gen 12:2, not meaning Arabs, nor Egyptians, nor Idumeans, for Ishmael too became father of a great nation, as did Esau, and even now the Ammonites form a vast multitude. And Noah was the father of Abraham himself, and simply of the whole race of mankind, while different men are the ancestors of different peoples. What further favor, then, does Christ here grant to Abraham? That he called him by a voice in a like calling, telling him to go out from the land in which he dwelt, cf. Gen 12:1, and he has called us all likewise by that same voice, and we have already gone out from the way of life in which we lived, badly, following the common ways of earth's other inhabitants, and alongside Abraham we shall receive the holy land as our inheritance, taking possession of it for endless ages, being Abraham's children through a faith like his, cf. Gal 3:7. For just as he trusted the voice of God, and this was counted to him as righteousness, cf. Gal 3:7, in the same way we too, believing the voice of God, spoken again through the apostles of Christ, and proclaimed to us through the prophets, have renounced all who are in the world, even to death. A nation of like faith, then, godly and righteous, gladdening the Father, is what he promises to himself, but not you, in whom there is no faith. Notice, however, that he promises the same things to Isaac and to Jacob as well. For thus he says to Isaac, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, and to Jacob, and in you shall all the tribes of the earth be blessed, and in your seed. He no longer says this to Esau, nor to Reuben, nor to anyone else, but to those from whom, according to the plan carried out through the Virgin Mary, Christ was to come. And if you would examine the blessing of Judah, you would see what I mean. For the seed is divided from Jacob, and descends through Judah and Perez and Jesse and David. These things were signs that some of your people would turn out to be Abraham's children, found within Christ's portion, while others, though Abraham's offspring, would resemble the sand lying along the seashore, cf. Gen 22:17, a sand that is barren and unfruitful, great in quantity and countless, yet producing no fruit whatsoever, but only drinking the water of the sea. This is exactly what the great multitude in your race is proved to be, drinking in together the teachings of bitterness and godlessness, while spitting out the word of God. He says, then, also in the passage about Judah, a ruler shall not fail from Judah, nor a leader from his loins, until the one arrives for whom it is kept, and he will be what the nations look for. It's clear that these words were addressed not to Judah, but to Christ. For we, drawn together from every nation, do not look for Judah at all, we look for Jesus, the one who also led your fathers out of Egypt. For until Christ's coming the prophecy had foretold. Until there comes the one to whom it belongs, and he shall be what the nations hope for. He has indeed come, as we have shown in many other passages, and he is expected to appear again above the clouds, Jesus, whose name you people profane, causing that profanation to spread across the whole earth. It was possible for me, I said, gentlemen, to contend with you over the wording, which you interpret as saying, until the things reserved for him come, since the 70 did not render it this way, but until he comes to whom it is reserved. But since what follows shows that this was said concerning Christ, for it continues thus. And he shall be the expectation of the nations. I do not come to dispute with you over the little word. Just as I likewise have not been keen to build my proof about Christ on writings you do not acknowledge. Texts I have nonetheless quoted, drawing on sayings from Jeremiah the prophet, from Ezra, and from David, but rather on what you yourselves have acknowledged up to now. Had your teachers grasped these passages, be certain they would have erased them, just as they did with what concerns the death of Isaiah, whom you sawed in two with a wooden saw, this too being a mystery of Christ, who was to cut your race in two, deeming the worthy, together with the holy patriarchs and prophets, worthy of the eternal kingdom, while already declaring that he would send the rest, together with the disobedient and unrepentant of every kind from all the nations, to the condemnation of the unquenchable fire. They shall come, he said, from west and east, and recline at the banquet alongside Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob within heaven's kingdom, while the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. And I say this, I said, because my only concern is speaking truthfully, unwilling to be intimidated by anyone, even if I must at once by you be torn limb from limb. For not even out of concern for anyone of my own race, I mean the Samaritans, when addressing Caesar in writing, did I refrain from saying that they are deceived in trusting the magician Simon from their own race, whom they say is a god above every rule and authority and power. And while they kept silence, I went on. Speaking of this same Christ, my friends, David no longer said that the nations would be blessed in his seed, but in him. For thus it stands there. His name endures forever. His name will rise beyond the sun, and in him every nation will find blessing. Now if it is in Christ that all the nations are blessed, and it is out of all the nations that in this one we believe, then this is the Christ, and we are those blessed through him. Now God had earlier given the Son for men to worship, as it is written, and it is not possible to see anyone who has ever endured death for faith in the Son. But for the sake of the name of Jesus, out of every race of men, there are those who have endured and are enduring suffering of every kind rather than deny him. This is to be seen. For the word of truth and wisdom is more fiery than the sun, and more radiant than the sun's powers, and it penetrates into the depths of the heart and mind. Hence the word also said, his name shall rise above the sun. And again, the dawn is his name, says Zechariah, and speaking of this same one he said, they shall mourn tribe by tribe. Now if in his first coming, dishonored, without comeliness and despised, he shone forth and prevailed to such a degree that he is unknown to no race, and repentance from the former evil way of life has been made by every race, so that even the demons are subjected to his name, and every principality and kingdom fears this name more than all the dead. Will he not, in every way, at his glorious coming, destroy all who have hated him and unjustly fallen away from him, while giving rest to his own, rendering to them all that is expected? To us, then, it has been given both to hear and to understand and to be saved through this Christ, and to come to know all the things of the Father. For this reason, he said to him, it is no small thing that you are named my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back the scattered of Israel. I have appointed you a light to the nations, so that you may bring them salvation to the end of the earth. You suppose that this was said concerning the resident alien and the proselytes, but in reality it was said concerning us, who have been enlightened through Jesus. For otherwise Christ would bear witness to them as well. But instead, as he himself said, you become sons of Gehenna twice over. It is not to them, then, nor to the things said through the prophets, that this is said, but to us, concerning whom the word says, I will guide the blind along a road they did not know, and they will walk paths unfamiliar to them. And I myself am a witness, declares the Lord God, as is my servant whom I chose. To whom, then, does Christ testify? Plainly to those who have come to believe. The proselytes, however, do not only not believe, but blaspheme his name twice as much as you do, and they wish both to murder and to abuse us who believe in him, for they are eager to be made like you in every respect. And again elsewhere he cries out, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will take hold of your hand and strengthen you, and I will make you a covenant of the people, a light for the nations, to give sight to eyes that are blind, to release from their fetters those who are bound. Since this too, gentlemen, was said with reference to Christ and concerning the nations who have been enlightened, or will you again say, does this refer to the law and the proselytes, And, as if in a theater, some of those who had arrived on the second day cried out, "But what? Does it not refer to the law and those enlightened by it? These are the proselytes." "No," I said, looking toward Trypho. "For if the law were able to bring light to the nations and to those who hold it, why would a new covenant be needed at all?" "But because God announced in advance that he would send a new covenant, together with an eternal law and commandment, we cannot take this to mean the old law and its proselytes. But Christ and his proselytes, us, the nations, whom he has enlightened, as he says somewhere. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I heard you, and in a day of salvation I helped you, and I have given you as a covenant of nations, to establish the land and to inherit the desolate inheritances," Isaiah 49:8. What then is the inheritance of Christ? Is it not the nations? What then is God's covenant? Is it not Christ himself? As he says in another place, "You are my son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, and the ends of the earth as your possession," Psalm 2:7-8. So then, just as all these things are said with reference to Christ and the nations, in the same way you must suppose those other passages too to have been said, as I have said. Proselytes, in fact, have no need at all of a covenant, since one identical law is laid down for everyone circumcised, and Scripture says of them, "And the sojourner also shall be added to them, and shall be added to the house of Jacob," Isaiah 14:1. And that the circumcised proselyte is one who has drawn near to the people so as to be like a native, while we, though we have been thought worthy to bear the name of a people, we are nonetheless a nation as well, since we are uncircumcised. This too has been shown. Furthermore, it is also ridiculous for you to suppose that the eyes of the proselytes themselves have been opened, but not yours, and that you are called blind and deaf, while they are called enlightened. And the matter will turn out even more ridiculous for you if you claim that the law was given to the nations, while you yourselves did not know that law. For you would have feared the wrath of God and would not be lawless and wandering sons, ashamed to hear him constantly saying, "Sons in whom there is no faithfulness," cf. Deuteronomy 32:20, and, "Who is blind if not my servants, and deaf if not their masters? And God's servants were struck blind of God. Time and again you saw, yet kept no watch, your ears were unstopped, yet you failed to listen," Isaiah 42:19-20. Or is God's praise of you a fine thing, and God's testimony fitting for servants? Are you not ashamed to hear the same things over and over, nor do you shudder when God threatens, but instead you are a foolish and hard-hearted people? "Therefore, behold, I will go on to remove this people," declares the Lord. "I will set them aside, and I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will hide the understanding of the prudent," Isaiah 29:14. And rightly so. You possess neither wisdom nor prudence, only sharpness and cunning, clever solely at wrongdoing, cf. Jeremiah 4:22, yet powerless to grasp God's hidden purpose, or the Lord's trustworthy covenant, or to discover the eternal path, cf. Jeremiah 6:16. "Therefore, I will raise up," he says, "for Israel and for Judah a seed of men and a seed of cattle," cf. Jeremiah 38:27 LXX. And through Isaiah he speaks thus about another Israel: "On that day Israel shall become a third alongside the Assyrians and the Egyptians, a blessing in the midst of the land the Lord of hosts has blessed, saying, 'Blessed be my people, the one in Egypt and the one in Assyria, and Israel my inheritance.'" Isaiah 19:24-25. Given, then, that God pronounces a blessing on this people, names it Israel, and declares it his own possession, why do you not turn back? Both from the delusion that you alone constitute Israel, and from cursing the people God has blessed. For indeed, when he was speaking to Jerusalem and the regions around it, he went on to add this: "And I will beget men over you, Israel my people, and they will take possession of you, and you will belong to them as an inheritance, and you will never again be stripped of your children on their account," Ezekiel 36:12. "What then?" said Trypho. "Are you Israel, and does he say these things about you?" "If indeed," I said to him, "we had not spent much discussion on these matters, I might have doubted that you were asking this from some lack of understanding. But since we have already worked out this question with proof and agreement, I do not think you are ignorant of what has already been said, nor again that you are being quarrelsome. but rather that you are inviting me to produce the same demonstration on these points as well. And when he assented by a nod of his eyes, I said again, once more, in Isaiah, hearing with your ears, if indeed you hear, God, speaking about Christ in a figure, names him Jacob and Israel, speaking as follows. Jacob my servant, I will support him. Israel my chosen one, I will set my spirit on him, and he will carry judgment out to the nations. He shall not strive nor cry out, nor shall anyone hear his voice in the open streets. He will not snap a broken reed, nor put out a smoking wick, but he will carry judgment forth to truth. He will take up judgment and not be broken until he has set judgment on the earth, and the nations will place their hope in his name. Isaiah 42, 1-4, cf. Matthew 12, 18-21. So then, just as from that one Jacob, who is also called Israel, your whole nation took the names Jacob and Israel, so too we, begotten by Christ unto God, just as those men were likewise called Jacob, Israel, Judah, Joseph, and David, are named, and truly are children of God, we who keep the commandments of Christ, cf. John 1:12 and 1 John 3:1-3. And since I saw that they were troubled at my saying that we too are children of God, I anticipated being questioned and said, listen, gentlemen, how the Holy Spirit speaks concerning this people, that they are all sons of the Most High, and that in their assembly this very Christ will be present, rendering judgment upon every race of men. Now these words were spoken through David, as you yourselves interpret them, thus. God stood in the assembly of gods, and in the midst he judges gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show favor to the persons of sinners? Give justice to the orphan and the poor, grant right judgment to the lowly and the needy. Rescue the needy and deliver the poor from the hand of the sinner. They did not know nor understand, they walk about in darkness, all the foundations of the earth will be shaken. I declared, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you, yet you will perish as a man does, and drop like any one of the rulers. Rise up, O God, and judge the earth, since you will take every nation as your inheritance, Psalm 81:82. Yet the 70 render it this way. See now, you perish as mortals do, and drop like any one of the rulers, so as to indicate both the disobedience of men, I mean Adam and Eve, and the fall of the one of the princes, that is, of the one called the serpent, who fell a great fall by leading Eve astray. But since my argument is not aimed at this point now, but at demonstrating to you that the Holy Spirit reproaches the men who, having been made impassible and immortal like God himself if they keep his commandments, and having been deemed worthy by him to be called his sons, nevertheless, becoming like Adam and Eve in the same way, bring death upon themselves. You may take the Psalms' meaning however you like. For even so it has been shown that they have been deemed worthy to become gods, and that all are able to be deemed worthy to become sons of the Most High, and that, because of themselves, they are also going to be judged and condemned, just as Adam and Eve were. And that the psalm also calls Christ God has been demonstrated in many places. I said, I would like to learn from you, gentlemen, what is the force of the name, Israel? And when they remained silent, I added, I will state what I understand, for I do not consider it fair to conceal what I know, nor, when I suspect that you know it, to suppose that you are always taking care to deceive yourselves out of envy or inexperience, but rather to say everything simply and without guile, as my Lord said. The sower went out to sow the seed, and some fell along the road, and some among the thorns, and some on the rocky ground, and some on the good land. So one must speak in hope that there is somewhere a good land, since indeed that Lord of mine, as strong and mighty cf. P.S. 23:8, will come and demand back what is his own from everyone, and will not condemn his own steward if he recognizes him, because he knows that his Lord is mighty and coming will demand back what is his own, giving to every table, but not to the one who for whatever reason buried it, cf. Luke 19:12-23. So then this name Israel signifies, a man prevailing over power, for Isra is man prevailing, and El is power. This too was shown through the mystery of the wrestling match, which Jacob wrestled with the one who appeared indeed to be man from his serving the Father's counsel, but God from his being the firstborn child of all created things, cf. Col 1:15. It was prophesied in this way that Christ too, having become man, would suffer toil. For when he became man, as I said before, the devil approached him, that is, that power which is also called serpent and Satan, tempting him and struggling to cast him down through demanding that he worship him. But he overthrew and cast him down, refuting him as wicked, since contrary to Scripture he demanded to be worshipped as God, having become an apostate from God's own purpose. He replies to him, Scripture says, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve, Deut 6, 13-14. And having been defeated and refuted, the devil then withdrew cf. Matt 4:10-11. But since our Christ was also going to grow numb, that is, in pain and in the seizure of suffering, when he was going to be crucified, he made a preliminary proclamation of this by touching Jacob's thigh and making it grow numb cf. Gen 32:25. And Israel was his name from above, which he gave when he blessed the blessed Jacob with his own name, proclaiming through this too that all who take refuge with the Father through him are blessed Israel cf. Isa 19:24-25. You, however, grasping nothing of this and making no effort even to grasp it, being children of Jacob by fleshly descent, assume you will be saved regardless. But that you deceive yourselves in this too has been demonstrated by me in many places. Who then is this one, who is at one time called angel of great counsel, and man through Ezekiel, and a son of man through Daniel, and child through Isaiah, and Christ and God worthy of worship through David, and Christ and stone through many, and wisdom through Solomon, and Joseph and Judah and star through Moses, and dawn through Zechariah, and one who suffers, and Jacob and Israel again through Isaiah, and is called rod and flower and cornerstone and son of God. If you had known this, Trypho, I said, you would not now blaspheme against him who has already come, been born, suffered, and ascended into heaven, who will also be present again, and then your 12 tribes will beat their breasts, Zech 12:12. For if you had understood the things spoken by the prophets, you would not deny that he is God, the Son of the only, unbegotten, and ineffable God. For somewhere, too, it is said through Moses in Exodus, as follows. The Lord addressed Moses and told him, I, the Lord, appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as their God, and my name I did not make known to them, and with them I set up my covenant, Exod 6:2-4. Again it says thus, A man wrestled with Jacob, Gen 32:24, and it calls him God. I have seen God face to face, yet my life was spared, Gen 32:30. These are the words it attributes to Jacob, and that the place where he wrestled with him too and appeared and blessed him, he called form of God, this he wrote. Likewise, as Moses says, God appeared to Abraham beside the oak of Mamre while he sat at the entrance of his tent at midday, Gen 18:1. Having said this, he then continues. He raised his eyes and looked, and there before him stood three men. As soon as he caught sight of them, he ran to greet them, Gen 18:2. And shortly after, one of them promises Abraham a son. Why is it that Sarah laughed, saying, Shall I really give birth, for I have grown old? Is anything impossible with God? At this appointed time I will return at this season, and Sarah shall have a son, Gen 18:13-14. And they depart from Abraham. And thus again concerning them it says again, And the men rose up from there and looked down toward Sodom, Gen 18:16. Then again the one who was and speaks to Abraham thus, I will not hide from my servant Abraham what I am about to do, Gen 18:17. And the things narrated in sequence from Moses, and expounded by me before, again I said, by which it has been shown that this one who appeared to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the rest of the patriarchs, stands subordinate to the Father and Lord, serving his purpose, and is recorded as God, this I said. I added too, though I had not said it earlier. In just this way, when the people craved meat to eat and Moses disbelieves the angel spoken of there as well, who promises that God will give them their fill, he himself, being both God and angel sent from the Father, is shown to have said and done these things. For the scripture goes on thus, saying, And the Lord said to Moses, Shall the hand of the Lord not suffice? Now you shall know whether my word will overtake you or not. Num 11:23. And again, in other words, it says thus, The Lord said to me, You shall not cross this Jordan. The Lord your God, who goes before your face, he himself will destroy the nations, Deut 31, 2-3. And other such things have been said by the lawgiver and the prophets. And I suppose I have said enough to show that, when my God says, God went up from Abraham, Gen 17:22, or the Lord spoke to Moses, Exod 6:29, and the Lord came down to see the tower that the sons of men had raised, Gen 11:5, or when God shut the door of Noah's ark from outside, Gen 7:16, You should not think that the unbegotten God in his own person descended or ascended from anywhere. The unspeakable Father and Master of everything never journeys to a place, never paces about, never sleeps, and never gets up. He simply stays where he is, wherever that may be, seeing keenly and hearing keenly, not through eyes or ears, but through a power beyond description. He watches over everything and knows everything, and not one of us slips past his notice. He does not shift position, since no place contains him and by the whole world, since he existed even before the world came to be. How then could this one either speak to anyone, or appear to anyone, or show himself in the smallest part of the earth? When the people were not even able to look upon the glory of the one sent from him on Sinai CF. Exod 19:21, nor was Moses himself able to enter into the tent he built, once that tent had been filled with the glory coming from God. For that matter, the priest could not even remain standing before the temple, when Solomon carried the ark into the Jerusalem house that Solomon himself had constructed, CF. 2 Chron 5:14. So none of them, not Abraham, not Isaac, not Jacob, nor any other human being, saw the Father, CF. John 1:18, and ineffable Lord of all simply, nor even Christ himself did, but rather that one who, according to his counsel, is also God, his Son, and an angel from his ministering to his will, whom he also willed to be born a man through the Virgin, and who once became fire in his conversation with Moses from the bush, CF. Exod 3:2ff. Because unless we read the scriptures this way, the result would be that the Father and Master of everything was not, at that moment, in heaven, given what Moses says. The Lord rained fire and sulfur on Sodom, sent from the Lord out of heaven, Gen 19:24. And again, through David's words, when it is said thus, "Lift up, gates, you rulers, and be lifted up, you everlasting gates, so the King of glory may enter," PS 23:7. And again, where it states, "The Lord says to him, 'Who is my Lord? Take your seat at my right, until I put your enemies beneath your feet as a footstool,'" PS 109:1. And that Christ, being Lord and being God, God's Son, and appearing earlier through power in the form of a man and of an angel, and amid a fiery glory, as at the bush, likewise appeared at the judgment carried out against Sodom. This point has already been established across much of what has been said. And I went back over everything I had previously set out from Exodus, both about the vision at the bush and about calling on the name of Jesus, and continued. Do not think, my friends, that I say these things so often out of mere wordiness, but because I know that some wish to argue this point in advance, and to claim that the power which appeared to Moses or Abraham or Jacob, coming from the Father of all, is called an angel because of its advance toward men, since through it the things from the Father are announced to men, and it is called glory. Since it sometimes appears in a manifestation that cannot be contained, and at times it goes by the name man, indeed a human being, since it appears molded into whatever shape the Father wills, and they call it word, since it also carries the Father's communications to men. And this power, they say, is undivided and inseparable from the Father, in the way they say the light of the sun is on the earth undivided and inseparable, while the sun itself remains in heaven, and when it sets, the light is carried off together with it. So too the Father, they say, when he wishes, makes his power leap forth, and when he wishes, draws it back again into himself. In this same manner they teach that he also makes the angels, but that there are angels, and that they remain forever and are not dissolved back into that from which they came, this has been demonstrated. And this force, the one the prophetic word likewise names God, as has equally been shown through many passages, and also calls angel, is not reckoned merely one in name, as the sun's light is, but is also a distinct entity in number. This too I examined briefly in what was said before, stating that this power had been begotten out of the Father, through his power and will yet not by a cutting off, as if the Father's own substance were being parceled out, the way everything else, once divided and cut, ceases to be what it was before the cut. And by way of illustration, I had pointed to how we see other fires kindled from one fire, with that original fire suffering no lessening, even though many fires can be kindled from it, but remaining the same. Now let me restate again the very words I spoke to prove this. When it says that fire came down upon them from the Lord, poured out by the Lord from heaven, Gen 19:24, The prophetic word signals that two are distinct in number. The one on earth, who is said to have come down to see the outcry of Sodom, Gen 18:21, and the one in the heavens, who exists and who holds lordship over the Lord on earth, being his Father and God, and the cause of his being powerful, Lord and God. And again, when the word states that God said at the beginning, "See, Adam has come to be like one of us," Gen 3:22, this phrase, "like one of us," likewise indicates number, and these words do not admit of a figurative reading, as the sophists attempt to explain them, men able neither to speak the truth nor to understand it. And it is said in Wisdom, "If I should declare to you the things that happen day by day, I would recall and number the things from eternity. The Lord brought me into being as the first of his undertakings, at the outset of his works. He founded me before the age in the beginning, before making the earth, and before making the depths, and before the springs of the waters came forth, before the mountains were set in place, and before all the hills he begets me," Prov 8:21-25. "And having said this, I went on. Understand, O hearers, if indeed you are paying attention with your mind, and that the Father brought this offspring into being prior to all the creatures without qualification, the Word made plain, and that what is begotten is distinct in number from the one who begets, anyone whatsoever would agree. And once all had assented to this, I said, I will now also speak certain words which I did not mention before. They were spoken in veiled fashion by the faithful servant C.F. Num 12:7, Moses. They run thus, "Rejoice, O heavens, at his side, and let every angel of God bow down to him, all the angels of God." And I went on to add the next words of the passage. "Rejoice, O nations, alongside his people, and may all God's angels grow strong for him, for the blood of his sons is avenged, and he will avenge it, and will repay justice to his enemies, and will repay those who hate him, and the Lord will cleanse the land of his people," Deut 32:43. And having said this, I said that it speaks of us, the nations, rejoicing with his people, by which I mean Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the prophets, and put simply, everyone from that people who is pleasing to God, in keeping with what we have already agreed among ourselves. But we will not understand this of all those of your race, since we also know through Isaiah that the limbs of those who have transgressed are to be devoured by an unceasing worm and unceasing fire, remaining immortal, so as to become a spectacle for all flesh, is 66:24. And I wish to say to you in addition to this, men, I said, some other words from the very words of Moses, C.F. Gen 11:6, Deut 32:8, from which you can also understand that from of old, God scattered all mankind, both their races and their tongues, and that having taken for himself out of all the races your race, a useless and disobedient and faithless race, C.F. Hos 8:8, Is 39:65-2, Deut 32:20, he showed that those chosen out of every race who are persuaded by his will through Christ, whom he also calls Jacob and names Israel, these two, as I have said before in many places, must be Jacob and Israel. For by saying, "Rejoice, O nations, with his people," Deut 32:43, he assigns to them the same inheritance and gives them the same name. And by calling them nations and saying that they rejoice with his people, he speaks of your nation to its reproach. For in the very manner that you too provoked him to anger by practicing idolatry, so too he deemed those, though they too were idolaters, worthy to know his will and to inherit the inheritance that is with him. And I will also state the words by which it is shown that God divided all the nations. They are these: ask your father, and he will declare it to you, your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High divided the nations, when he scattered abroad the sons of Adam, he fixed the borders of the nations to match the count of the sons of Israel. And the Lord's share became his people Jacob, Israel the measuring cord of his inheritance, Deut 32:7-9. Having said this, I added that the 70 rendered it. He fixed the borders of the nations to match the number of God's angels. But since even on this reading my argument loses nothing, I stated your interpretation as well. And you too, if you are willing to confess the truth, must admit that we are more faithful toward God. We who, having been called by God through the despised mystery of the cross, so full of reproach, endure, on account of our confession and obedience and piety, punishments even unto death at the hands of the demons and the army of the devil, through the service rendered to them by you, punishments which have thereby been increased, we endure all things so as not to deny Christ even so much as in word, through whom we were summoned to the deliverance the Father made ready in advance, we who hold greater faith than you did when you were ransomed out of Egypt by a raised arm and the oversight of great glory, cf. Deut 4, 34, Exod 6, 1 ff. 13, 21, 16, 10, Acts 13, 17, from Egypt, the sea having been cut apart for you and become a dry road, in which he killed those pursuing you with very great force and glorious chariots, by flooding upon them the sea that had been made into a road for your sake, cf. Exod 14, 6, you, for whom also a pillar of light shone, cf. Exod 13, 21, etc., so that beyond every other people in the world, in your own. So that you might have light that never fails and never sets to use. For them, he rained down bread for food through heavenly angels, the manna, so that you would not even need to seek bread making. The bitter water at Marah, too, was turned sweet, and it became a sign of the one who was about to be crucified also in the case of the serpents that bit you. As I said before, all of it was God, in his foresight, granting you the mysteries before their proper times, toward whom you are proved to have always been ungrateful. And through the pattern of the stretching out of the hands of Moses, and of the one renamed Jesus, who fought against Amalek, concerning which God said that what had happened should be recorded, saying that he would also set the name of Jesus into your ears, saying that this is the one who is going to blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. And that the memory of Amalek remains even after the Son of Nun is plain to see. But that through Jesus who was crucified, of whom those symbols were proclamations in advance of all the things concerning him, namely that the demons are going to be utterly destroyed and dread his very name, and that every rule and realm alike will eye him with suspicion, and that from every race of men, those who believe in him are shown to be godly and peaceable. This it makes plain, and the things I have narrated before also signify it, Trypho. And so great a quantity of quail was given to you when you desired to eat meat, as much as would be countless to tell. For them also water gushed out from a rock, and a cloud followed them as shade from the heat and protection from the cold, declaring in advance the manner and proclamation of another, new heaven. Of whom also the straps of their sandals did not break, nor did the sandals themselves grow old, nor were their clothes worn out, but even those of the younger ones grew along with them. And in addition to this, you made a calf, and you were eager to fornicate with the daughters of foreigners and to worship idols. And after this again, when the land had been given over to you with such great power, that you even saw the sun, at the command of that man renamed with the name Jesus, stand still in the sky and not set for 36 hours, and all the other mighty deeds that happened to you from time to time, of which it seems good to me now to recount one more, for it contributes toward your understanding from it of Jesus, whom we too have recognized as Christ, God's Son, crucified, raised, and taken up into the heavens, who will come again as judge of simply all men, back to Adam himself. Know then, I said, that when the tabernacle of testimony had been seized by the enemies around Azotus, and a terrible and incurable plague had come upon them, they took counsel to place it upon a cart, under which they yoked cows that had newly calved, as a test to know whether they had been struck by the power of God on account of the tabernacle, and whether God wanted the ark sent back to the site it had originally come from. And when they did this, the cows, guided by no man, did not indeed go to the place from which the tabernacle had been taken, but into the field of a certain man called Hoshea, who bore the same name as that man renamed with the name Jesus, as was said before, who also brought the people into the land and allotted it to them. And having come into that field they remained there, this being demonstrated to you as well, in that they were led by that power's name. Just as, earlier, the remnant of the people who had come out of Egypt was led into the land by the man who had taken the name Jesus, previously called Hoshea, was guided into the land. And though these and all such paradoxical and marvelous things happened to you and were seen from time to time, you are convicted through the prophets even to the point of having sacrificed your own children to demons, and on top of all this of having dared such things against the Christ and of still daring them. For all of which may it happen to you, that you receive mercy from God and his Christ and are saved. For through the prophet Isaiah, foreknowing that you were going to do these things, God cursed you thus. Woe to their soul, they have plotted a wicked plan against themselves, declaring, Let us tie up the just man, for he is a nuisance to us. So then they will eat the produce of their own deeds. Woe to the lawless one, evil things according to the deeds of his own hands will come back upon him. My people, your extortioners strip you like stubble, and those who demand payment shall lord it over you. My people, those who call you blessed lead you astray and throw into confusion the path of your ways. But now he will set his people up for judgment, and the Lord in person will enter into judgment alongside the people's elders and its rulers of his people. But you, why have you burned up my vineyard, and why is the plunder of the poor sitting in your homes? Why do you wrong my people and disgrace the faces of the lowly? And again, in other words, the same prophet said to the same effect, Woe to those who draw their sins after them as with a long rope, and their sins as with a heifer yoke strap, those who say, Let his speed hasten near, and let the plan of Israel's Holy One arrive, so we may learn it. Woe to those who call the evil good and the good evil, who make the light darkness and the darkness light, who make the bitter sweet and the sweet bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and knowing in their own sight. Woe to those strong among you, who drink wine and the potentates, and those who mix strong drink, who justify the ungodly for the sake of gifts, and take away the justice of the righteous. Therefore, just as stubble will be burned by a coal of fire and will be consumed together by a burning flame, so their root shall be like chaff, and their flower shall rise up like dust. For they refused the law belonging to the Lord of Sabaoth, and instead provoked the utterance of Israel's Holy One. So the Lord of Sabaoth burned with anger, laid hands upon them, struck them down, and turned in wrath against the mountains. Their corpses lay in the midst like dung along the road. Yet through all this they did not turn back, but their hand is still raised high. For truly your hand is still raised high for evil doing, since even after killing the Christ you do not repent even so. But you hate and murder us too, who through him have come to believe in God the Father of all, whenever you get the power to do so. And you ceaselessly curse both him himself and those descended from him. Though every one of us prays on your behalf, and indeed for absolutely everyone, since this is exactly what our Christ and Lord instructed us to practice. He who charged us to intercede on behalf of enemies too, to show love toward those who hate us, and to speak blessing over those who curse us. If then the teachings of the prophets and those of that very man shame you as well, you would do better following God rather than your senseless, blind teachers, men who, even now, permit each man among you to marry four or five wives, and should he see a beautiful woman and desire her, they point to what Jacob, that is, Israel and the other patriarchs did, claiming that anyone acting likewise commits no wrong, wretched men and foolish, and in this respect too. For as I said before, certain dispensations of great mysteries were accomplished in each such act. For I will tell what dispensation and advance proclamation was accomplished in the marriages of Jacob, so that in these matters too you may recognize that your teachers have never looked to the more divine purpose for the sake of which each act took place, but rather to the passions of corruption instead. Attend, then, to what I am saying. The marriages of Jacob were types of the deed that was going to be accomplished by Christ. For Jacob was not permitted to take two sisters as wives at the same time, and he served Laban for the sake of the daughters, and having been deceived regarding the younger one, he served again 7 years. But Leah is your people and synagogue, while Rachel is our church. And it is for these that Christ has served up to now, and for the slaves in both of them. For since Noah gave the seed of the third son into slavery to the two sons CF. Gen 9:25, now again, for the restoration both of the free children and of the slaves among them, Christ has come, deeming all of them worthy of the same things who keep his commandments, in the same way that both those born of the free women and those born of the slave women became to Jacob all sons and of equal honor. But according to the order and according to the foreknowledge, what sort each would be, was foretold beforehand CF. Gen 49:1ff. Jacob served Laban for the speckled and multiform flock CF. Gen 30:31, and Christ too served, even unto the slavery of the cross CF. Phil 2:7-8, on behalf of the varied and manifold men of every race, acquiring them through the blood and mystery of the cross. Lee's eyes were weak CF. Gen 29:17, for indeed the eyes of your soul are exceedingly so. Rachel stole Laban's gods and hid them until this very day, cf. Gen 31:19-34, and for us the ancestral and material gods have perished. For all that time, Jacob was hated by his brother. So now, our Lord along with us is despised by you fall. 187, and by other people in general, though all are by nature brothers. Jacob was surnamed Israel, and Israel too has been shown to be Christ, who is and is called Jesus. And when the scripture says, I am the Lord God, Israel's Holy One, the one who established Israel as your king is. 43:15. Will you not truly hear this as referring to Christ the eternal king? For you know that Jacob, the son of Isaac, never became a king. And for this reason the scripture, again explaining to us whom it calls king of Jacob and Israel, spoke thus. Jacob my servant, I will lay hold of him, and Israel my chosen, my soul will receive him. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth judgment to the nations. He will not cry out, nor will his voice be heard outside. A reed that is bruised he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, until he brings forth judgment unto victory. He will take up judgment, and will not be broken, until he sets judgment upon the earth, and in his name the nations will hope is. 42:1-4. Do those from the nations, then, hope in Jacob the patriarch, and not in Christ, and you yourselves as well? Just as Scripture calls Christ also Israel and Jacob, so we too, hewn from the womb of Christ, are the true Israelite race. But let us rather attend to the very saying itself. And I will bring forth, it says, the seed from Jacob and from Judah, and fall. 187, it will inherit my holy mountain, and my chosen ones will inherit it, and my servants, and they will dwell there. And in the forest there will be folds of flocks, and the valley of Achor a resting place for herds, for my people who have sought me. But you, who forsake me and neglect my sacred mountain, who set a table before the demons and fill a mixed offering cup for the demon, I will hand you over to the sword. You will all fall in slaughter, because I called you, and you did not obey. I spoke, and you disobeyed, and you did what was evil before me, and you chose the things I did not want, is. 65:9-12. That is what the scripture says, and consider yourselves too, that something else is now meant by the seed from Jacob. Not what someone might suppose is said about the people. For it is not possible that, to those born from Jacob, there should be left an addition of those sown from Jacob, nor that, while reproaching the people as unworthy of the inheritance, it should again, as though relenting, be promising the same things to the very same people. But just as the prophet says elsewhere, And now, O house of Jacob, come, let us go forward in the light of the Lord. For he dismissed his people, the house of Jacob, since their land had become full, as it was from the beginning, with divinations and omens is. 2:5-6. So here too we must recognize fall. 188, two seeds of Judah and two distinct races, like two houses of Jacob, one begotten of blood cf. John 1:13 and flesh, the other begotten of faith and spirit. For you see that it now speaks to the people, having said above, As a grape will be found in a cluster, and they will say, Do not destroy it, for a blessing is in it, this is what I will do for the sake of the one who serves me. On his account I will not wipe them all out. And after this it adds, And I will bring forth the seed from Jacob and from Judah is. 65:8-9. It is clear, then, that if he is so angry with those and threatens to leave only a few, he promises to bring forth certain others who will dwell on his mountain is. 65:9. These are the ones he said he would sow cf. Jer. 38:27 and beget cf. Ezek. 36:12. For you neither endure him when he calls nor listen when he speaks, but you have also done evil before the Lord is. 65:12. But the height of your wickedness is that you also hate the one whom you murdered, and think it right that those who have received from him should be what they are, pious and righteous and loving of mankind. For that reason the Lord says, Woe to their soul, because they have plotted a wicked scheme to their own harm, declaring, Let us do away with the righteous man, for he is a burden to us is. 3:9-10 and Wisdom 2:12. For did you not also sacrifice to Baal, as your fathers did, nor make cakes in shaded or high places for the host of heaven cf. Jer. 7:18? No, but rather because you did not receive fall. 188 His Christ. For whoever is ignorant of him is also ignorant of the counsel of God, and whoever insults and hates him also hates the one who sent him. Clearly, he both hates and insults him. And if anyone does not believe in him, he does not believe the proclamations of the prophets, who announced him as good news and proclaimed him to all CF. John 5:23 and 46. So do not, brothers, say anything evil against that crucified one, and do not mock his wounds, by which it is possible for all to be healed, just as we too have been healed CF. Is 53:5. For it would be good if you, persuaded by these words, were circumcised in your hardness of heart, which you hold not as a resolve arising through yourselves, since it was given as a sign, not as a work of righteous conduct, as the words compel us to see. Agreeing then, do not revile the Son of God, nor, obeying your Pharisee teachers, ever mock the King of Israel, in accordance with what your synagogue rulers teach after the prayer. For if he who touches those not pleasing to God is as one who touches the pupil of God's ICF. Zech 2:8, how much more he who lays hold of the beloved CF. F 1:6, and that this one is he himself has also been sufficiently demonstrated. And when they were silent, I said, My friends, I am now speaking the scriptures as the 70 interpreted them. For having spoken them earlier as you yourselves have them, I was making trial of you to see how fall. 189, your minds were already disposed. For when I spoke the scripture that says, Woe to them, for they have devised an evil plan against themselves, saying, As the 70 interpreted it, I added, Let us take away the righteous one, for he is troublesome to us. Whereas when I first said, at the beginning of our discussion, what you yourselves would wish to have been said, saying, Let us bind the righteous one, for he is troublesome to us, is 3:9-10 and Wisdom 2:12. You did other things, and you do not seem to me to have listened attentively to the words. But since even now the day is already about to reach its end, for the sun is already toward its setting, I will add one more thing to what has been said and stop. This same thing was indeed already said among the things spoken by me, but again, it seems to me right that it should be worked out further. Know then, gentlemen, I said, that it is said in Isaiah by God to Jerusalem, At the flood of Noah I saved you, CF. Is 54:8-9. And this is what God meant, that the mystery of the men being saved took place at the flood. For the righteous man, Noah with the other people at the flood, that is, his wife and his three children and the wives of his sons, who were eight in number, held a symbol of the day that is eighth in number, on which our Christ appeared, having risen from the dead, though in power he has always existed as first. For Christ, being firstborn of all creation, call 1:15, became in turn the beginning of another race, the race regenerated by him through water and faith and wood, which holds the mystery of the cross, just as Noah too was saved in wood, carried upon the waters together with his own. So when the prophet says, On account of Noah I saved you, as I said before, he speaks to the people who are likewise faithful toward God and possess these symbols. For Moses too, holding a rod in hand, led your people through the sea. But you suppose that he spoke only of your race or only of the land. For that the whole earth, as Scripture says Gen 7:19-20, was flooded, and the water rose 15 cubits above all the mountains, God appears to have said not to the earth, but to the people obedient to him, for whom he had also prepared beforehand a rest in Jerusalem, as has already been shown through all the symbols connected with the flood. And I said that through water and faith and wood those who prepare themselves beforehand and repent of what they have sinned will escape the coming judgment of God, for indeed another mystery was prophesied to be fulfilled in the case of Noah, which you do not understand. It is this. In the blessings with which Noah blessed his two sons, he curses the son of his son. For the son, having been blessed together with them by God, the prophetic spirit was not about to curse. But, since through the whole race of the one who laughed at his son's nakedness, the penalty for the sin was going to fall, he made the curse proceed from the son CF. Gen 9. And in what he said, he was foretelling that those descended from Shem would come to possess the properties and dwellings of Canaan, and again that those descended from Japheth would possess these same properties, which those from Shem, having taken them over from the sons of Canaan, would themselves come to possess, taking them away from those descended from Shem. In the same way that, when they were taken away from the sons of Canaan, they themselves had come to possess them. And that this is indeed what happened, listen. For you, who trace your race from Shem, went up against the land of the sons of Canaan according to the will of God and took possession of it. And that the sons of Japheth, coming according to the judgment of God, and coming themselves against you, took your land away from you and took possession of it, is evident. Now this was said as follows. And Noah woke up from the wine and realized what his youngest son had done to him. And he said, Cursed be the boy Canaan, he will be a slave to his brothers. And he said, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and Canaan will be his slave. May the Lord make room for Japheth, so that he may dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan will become his slave. Gen 9, 24-27. Two nations, then, were blessed, those descended from Shem, and those descended from Japheth. And it is understood that the descendants of Shem were the first to hold the tents of Canaan, while the descendants of Japheth would later inherit from them these same possessions mentioned earlier. And to the two peoples, the one people from Canaan having been handed over into slavery, Christ came according to the power given to him by the Almighty Father, calling them to friendship and blessing cf. 1 Pet 3, 9, and repentance and a shared dwelling, the dwelling in that same land which is destined to belong to all the saints, of which possession, as has already been demonstrated, he has promised. Whence people from everywhere, whether slaves or free, believe in Christ and have come to recognize the truth contained in his sayings and those of his prophets, understand that, once they come to be with him in that land, they will inherit the eternal and imperishable things as well. Whence also Jacob, as I said before, being himself too a type of Christ, had also married the two slave women belonging to his two free wives, and from them he begot sons, so that it might be foretold beforehand that Christ would take to himself, along with the free, all who are of the race of Japheth born from Canaan, and would have them as children who are joint heirs, which is what we are, though you are not able to understand it, because you are not able to drink from the living fountain of God, but from the broken cisterns which are unable to hold water, as Scripture says Jer 2:13. And the broken cisterns that do not hold water are the ones your own teachers have dug for you, as Scripture also expressly says. Teachings, the commandments of men, Isa 29:13, cf. Matt 15:9. And besides this, they deceive both themselves and you, supposing that assuredly to those who are of the seed according to the flesh of Abraham, cf. Matt 3:9, even if they are sinful and faithless and disobedient toward God, the eternal kingdom will be given, which the Scriptures have shown not to be so. For indeed Isaiah would not have said this. If the Lord of Sabaoth had not left us offspring, we would have become like Sodom and Gomorrah, Isa 1:9, and Ezekiel, that even if Noah and Jacob and Daniel should ask for sons or daughters, it shall not be given to them, but neither father for son nor son for father, but each will perish for his own wrongdoing, and each will be delivered by his own righteous deeds, cf. Ezek 14:14-20, 18:4-20, and Jute 24:26. And again Isaiah, they shall see the limbs of those who rebelled, their worm will never die, their fire will never go out, and they will be a spectacle to all humanity, Isa 66:24. And our Lord, following the purpose of the Father and Master of all things who sent him, would not have said, Many will arrive from east and west, and take their place at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob within the kingdom of heaven, while the heirs of the kingdom will be thrown into the darkness outside. Matt 8:11-12. But that it is not on account of God that those foreknown and destined to become unjust, whether angels or men, become wicked, but that each is such as each will be shown to be through his own cause, I have demonstrated already above as well. And so that you may not have a pretext to say that it was necessary for Christ to be crucified, or that there should be transgressors even within your own race, and that it could not have come about otherwise, I said briefly beforehand that, wishing the angels and men to follow his will, God chose to make them self-determined toward righteous conduct, with the reason to know him by whom they came to be, and through whom they exist, having previously not existed, and to be judged by the law that governs them. If they act contrary to right reason, and it is through our own selves, we men and the angels, that we shall be convicted of having done evil, if we do not change beforehand. Now, if God's word declares in advance without qualification that certain angels and men are destined for punishment, It is because he knew in advance that they would become unchangeably wicked that he foretold these things, and not because God made them so. Hence, if they repent, all who wish can obtain mercy from God, and the word foretells them blessed, saying, "Blessed is he to whom the Lord will not impute sin," PS 31:2. And this means, he who, having repented of his sins, receives from God forgiveness of his sins, but not as you deceive yourselves, and certain others like you in this respect, who claim that sinners who are acquainted with God will still escape having their sin counted against them by the Lord. As witness of this, we have the one transgression of David, which came about through his boasting CF. PS 26:2 FF, which was then forgiven when he wept and mourned, as it is written CF. 2 KGDMS 12, 13. And if to such a man forgiveness was not given before he repented, but only when this great king and Christ and prophet wept and did such things, how can the unclean and those utterly given over to recklessness hope for their sin to go uncounted by the Lord, unless they mourn and beat their breasts and repent? And this single act as well, gentlemen, I said, the affair of David's transgression with Uriah's wife, shows that the patriarchs did not have many wives as men given to fornication, but that a certain economy and all manner of mysteries were accomplished through them. For if it had been permitted to take a woman, whichever one a man wished, and in whatever way he wished, and as many as he wished, the way the men of your own race do, in every land, wherever they settle or are sent, taking women to themselves in the name of marriage, then this would have been permitted to David to do all the more. Having said these things, my dearest Marcus Pompeius, I stopped. And after Trypho had paused for a while, he said, "You see that it was not by design that we came together in these matters. And I confess that I was especially delighted by the conversation, and I think these men here were affected in the same way as I was. We discovered more than we had anticipated, more, in fact, than one could ever have hoped to find. And if it were possible for us to do this more continually, we would profit still more by examining the very arguments themselves. But since," he said, "you are on the point of departure and expect to set sail any day now, don't fail to keep us in mind as friends once you have gotten away." "As for me," I said, "for my own sake, if I were staying on, I would wish this same thing to happen every day. But since I now expect to be put to sea shortly, God permitting and cooperating, I urge you, now that you have entered upon this greatest of contests on behalf of your own salvation, to be zealous to prefer the Christ of the Almighty God above your teachers." After this, they went away, praying for my safety, both from the voyage and from all wickedness. And I too, praying on their behalf, said, "I can wish nothing greater for you, gentlemen, than this, that, having recognized that by this way it is granted to every man to attain happiness, you yourselves also would do just as we have done in every respect. Confess that Jesus is the Christ of God."